Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis 1:9. Genesis 1:9. Church, tonight I want to do something just a little bit different. Those of you listening online, some of you, of course, are our partners. Some of you, this is your home. But I'm going to address our church family and help them with some things. I'm going to be doing that for the next few weeks. And so, yeah, I'm sure you'll get plenty out of the word, but it's kind of personal for us, and so you'll get the drift, but certainly we want you listening along, but you'll kind of get the feel of where we're going, because we have done some things around here that we need to push right on through. Amen. So this is called the coming home harvest. The coming home harvest. So now, see, everybody in here and a few of you online already know where we're going to go. Genesis 1:9. What I want to do, church, is this is not a teaching, and I'm not going to preach a sermon. Just want to give you some thoughts. So I'm just going to tell you some things so that you can think about it. I'm not trying to make a career so I can just be here with the church family and pastor you and give you what you need. Okay, so I don't have to go out online and have the perfect sermon, 3 points in a poem, you know, whatever. Okay, so Genesis 1:9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. That's good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and let the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its own kind. Everybody say, its own kind. Whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its own kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, I want to read Genesis 1:11 in the Amplified to you. God said, let the earth sprout tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit according to, limited to, consistent with their kind, whose seed is in them upon the earth, and it was so. Plants bearing seeds according to its own type. Just a few days ago, we picked some peaches. Deb picked some, John picked some, a couple of squirrels picked some. And the interesting thing about them is not one of those trees had an apple on it. And not one of those peaches that I've seen so far is without a seed. They all have these things, okay? So all of the plants and all the trees, listen to me, walk with me. You just need to walk with me the whole time. They remember what to do. Okay? They remember what to do. Amazing. They just remember what to do. Verse 10 said that God called the land earth. In Hebrew, we say Eretz. When you talk about the nation of Israel, you talk about the land, you're talking about Eretz Israel. When you're talking about the people of Israel, you're talking about I'm Israel. Okay? Now, just because all of you know this, but I'm going to say this to who may watch this on YouTube or something 10 years from now. We here at this church are people that are called Zionists. We believe that Israel still has a covenant with God, and we did not replace them. We do not believe in replacement theology. For Zion's sake, we will not be silent. We believe that Israel is the apple of God's eye, as well as us. We are too. But we believe they hold a place with God, and the Bible says they that bless Israel will be blessed. And so if you've been around any time and you've really read the Bible, you know that's right. So God said then that his creation was good. That's the word tov. They say that you can spell it tov, like ketov, you know, T-O-V, or it could be T-O-B. and that's Tob, it means good. And so God said that these trees that produced fruit, and they produced seed, and it's all after their own kind, he said this was good. Okay? He said it was good. So that's a very important thing to remember. Now, that means that they were in weight and measure, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Kind of sounds like shalom, doesn't it? Okay, so God knew what he was doing. Land was good, water was good, grass and trees were good. The producing after their own kind would be a good idea. Walk with me, please. So God provided man with what he needed. In Genesis 2, then, we see Moses writing again and talking about what has gone on. And it says that he created man in his image. Man was created in his image. Now, God is a speaking spirit, is he? He said, light be. He's a speaking spirit. So if you're created in the image of God, you are a speaking spirit. Oh, don't get ahead of myself here. Now, so speaking is the main way God got and gets the job done.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Working by the sweat of the brow came with the curse, did it? Come on, it came with the curse. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he has no sorrow with it. The blessing does. The empowerment to prosper, you don't add your stuff to it. When you get to the end of me, you will have victory, you know, yourself. Okay. Now, Adam could think like God. Yeah, he could. His mind would freak you out right now. He could download revelation. He could think with God. He could hear God. Everything could come through him so easily. He could think to get on the other side of the garden and be there. It's a whole different setup than before the curse, okay? So now, so he's thinking like God, so he's talking like God. And guess who else talked like God? Jesus. Because Jesus only said what the Father said. Think about that. So we have a speaking spirit living in a garden where the vegetation produces after its own kind. I see some of y'all are going, I see where you're going. Okay. Now, so if you want a peach, you can plant a peach seed. That's not rocket science. We all get that in the natural. You can't plant the tomato seed and get a peach. You're going to have to plant that. Genesis 8:22 then, walk with me, said, while the earth remaineth, this is after Noah has landed, or whatever happened to him, came down on the earth. Yeah. So, after the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Oh, listen to this. Now, this may upset your global warming just a little bit, but while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Okay, now, don't get mad at me for that. Think what you want to, but that kind of says something to me. Now, what I just said, though, the part I want you to get is this. While the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. So being a speaking spirit in a garden is going to be very helpful to you. Amen. So that's what we know. We all know that. So just as there's an earthly existence too, we also know there's a spiritual existence. We know right now that there's another dimension, even present with us right now, things that you can't see, but they are real. God didn't make things out of nothing. He made things out of things we can't see, says the book of Hebrews and other verses as well, talks about that. And so we call that, walk with me, we call that the kingdom. And that's what it is. It's the realm of God, the rule of God, and the reign of God. Okay, so then what we see is that Jesus taught us how the kingdom works in Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13 would be where we would find those. And so look at Mark 4, 26, and you could put a note on this or a little star or something, and it's probably all marked up already in your Bible. Because Jesus said, if you understand this parable, then you'll get the rest of them. Okay, so Mark 4, 26 says, so is the kingdom of God. It's up on the screen for you if you need it. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. So you don't need to know how. It just happens. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Praise the Lord. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, what did we just say? What did Jesus just say? I'm telling you how the kingdom of God works. It works on seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Or seed, time, and harvest. Both of those. Okay. Now, things work in the spirit the same way we see them work in the natural. Really, I should say it the other way around. Things work in the natural the way things work in the spirit. Okay. So it works here like it works there. Seed, time, and harvest. But Jesus gave the biggest clue on how to get the kingdom to work for you, and it's found back up there to verse 14. And in verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. That's how you get the kingdom to work for you. This is 101, isn't it? But it's so right. Okay, now, after he told them that this is how it works, and they were going, why are you talking in parables, you know? Because he's giving them the story, and then he says, I'll just tell y'all. It's the word. A sower, someone will speak the word, okay? And then he called our hearts good ground, or maybe stony, or maybe thorny, or maybe wayside, depending on what you're doing. Okay, depends on how your ground receives the word. Now, let me ask you something. In the beginning was the what? Very good, class. The word. Who was the word?
Jesus.
Then the word became flesh. That word, the word, manifested as a harvest in this realm. Yes?
Yes.
It had been prophesied. Words had been spoken. Words had been spoken. Prophecies that the Messiah would come. And then here it's manifested. The word became flesh. Just like a harvest becomes flesh. It may start out as a seed. It comes up as a plant. But when it gets to be the full corn in the ear, it'll manifest, and you have to harvest it.
Amen.
I'm happy about that. Glory to God. Now, so, not just fruit. Fruit with seed. See, I can't take a long time to explain this to you, but you're big. Not just fruit, fruit with seed. You sowed a seed, but you got back fruit with seed. Okay. So, Jesus sowed the word that day into all kinds of ground in Mark 4 and those places. He spoke in parables to protect those that did not conceive the word. It just went right over their head. Because you had to hear and understand. You had to conceive the word. Now, why would he do that? Why did he protect people? Because once you get a revelation, you're responsible for it. But if you're just wayside and it just kind of went over your head, you're still going to be okay. But once I got a revelation that it matters what I said, then I had to be responsible for it.
Right.
I'll just go ahead and put it out there, right there. Once I became responsible for revelation, I had to be responsible for revelation. Amen. So, can't go back. So now, you're now responsible to dress and keep it. You had word and you put word in there and now you're harvesting that word. You're going to have to dress and keep what's going in. If you got a revelation, you're going to dress and keep it so that you can actually produce a harvest. Maybe saying it that way would be a little bit better. Okay, now, the seeds have been sown, and they must be tended to. Mm-hmm. And there's a grace for it. Now, God gave Adam the garden. God gave Abraham and his descendants the promised land, Eretz Israel. God gave us the promised land of the kingdom. Everything of ours is held in the realm. I mean, you can get it here, but it's held in the realm where nothing will eat it up or tear it up or it won't get corrupt. But you can make a demand on it and it'll manifest in this realm. Oh man, that's good news. Y'all awake? Okay. So Adam did, Abraham did, and we did. We dress them and keep them. The gardens that we have. Okay? They produce for us. God made man and he blessed him. He conferred the empowerment to prosper. Blessed is not that thing you say it. The blessing is not the thing you say at dinner. I better say that for somebody out there. Blessing doesn't mean hachu, bless you, or let's say the blessing over our food. In the book of Genesis, it said that God blessed. He conferred the empowerment to prosper on mankind. And that blessing has carried through. He did it with all the patriarchs, all of them. And then the Bible says that according to Galatians, that we've been freed from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So now we're wearing that blessing. So lock that into place as well. Now, when Jesus fed the multitude, I told you, I'm just telling you stuff, okay? When Jesus fed the multitude, he was given the seed of fish and bread. He looks up into the realm. He looks up, it says he looked into heaven. What's he doing? He's not looking up at the sky and going, oh, praise the Lord. You know. No, he's looking up as in, we have a tendency to turn our head up when we think about the dimension.
Yeah.
And so he's looking up and focusing on the other dimension, and then he blessed the fish and the loaves, and what happened? A harvest, a multiplication. See, we didn't have one peach on our peach tree. How many pounds?
Over 50
pounds of peaches. I know what y'all are saying. Where are my peaches? Pastor, you bring me some peaches? Where's my peaches? Well, we'll see. Praise the Lord. The squirrels ate y'all's part. No, I'm just kidding. They got the tithe. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. I'm just playing. Okay, so so he looked into the kingdom, he blessed it, and it multiplied. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to say something to you. Dirt has a memory. The ground has a memory. Hold on to your socks. They're rolling up and down right now. Ground has a memory. God made the earth. God is in the earth. The earth is upheld by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, the word of his power. Okay, there's a difference. You need to think about it. The Word brought life into everything that exists, did it? He can't help it. That's who He is. When He breathed into Adam, that was life. When He made the plants, it was life. When He made the animals, it was life. Don't think any different of the earth. There's life in the earth. Did you know that dirt can grow anything? Immediately, if you stick something in it, it tries to grow. If you put a fence post in it, it'll rot it out if it's wood. It'll turn it rusty. It'll do whatever it can to try to get something to grow.
That's right.
It'll make those weeds get big right after this rain. Yeah. But it will. Yeah. So ground has known what to do since the beginning.
Wow.
Now, all ground has a memory. Now I'm going to say something to you, and then you'll have to click this in to where you and I are. Okay? Ready? All ground has a memory. It knows who belongs and who doesn't. The promised land is the promised, and it knows that it's promised. It knows. It remembers. God said Abraham could have it and his descendants. So if you have trouble with that, of who the land of Israel belongs to, read the Bible. Okay. Now, the word went out that Abraham and his seed would have this little sliver of land between the three continents forever. It's a promise. And then we see Joseph and his guys, his family, they had to move to save the world into Egypt. But what happened? They buried Jacob back in Canaan, and Joseph made them promise to take his bones back to Canaan. Does that tell you something? They knew where they belonged. Well, let me just run ahead and give you a little help. In this season, in this awakening, people are going to find out where they belong.
Yes. Glory. That's right. Yes. That is right.
People are going to find out where they belong, and there's going to be a draw. And they're going to go, you know, I got to go home. I got to go where I belong.
Yeah.
I believe it too, Margaret. I believe it. I believe that's right. Now, because, you know, this is prophetic, but I believe it's true, and you can see it. Jewish people were constantly deported from their homeland, starting back with the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. They all, it's called diaspora, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. They went all over the earth, and they're still all over the earth right now, right? But they've been coming home now for years. They started coming home when Israel became a nation again. They all started coming home. There was a group of Ethiopians. I wish I'd have written this down, but they actually snuck out. It was thousands of them, and arrived safely in Israel some years ago. I'll bring you those facts. I'll look them up for you. But they know, what's going on? They know. The dirt is calling their dirt because we're dirt. So, Aliyah is a Hebrew word that means going up or elevation. Now, Aliyah, you can say it either way. I looked it up. I had the Hebrew people saying it to me to make sure I could tell you right. And most of them say Aliyah. Okay. I think it's fancier, Aliyah, but praise the Lord. In Texas, I think Aliyah works. Now, it really has several meanings because it means going up, and it is actually the term used when in synagogue they call you to the front to read. So Luke 4:18, when Jesus stood up for to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. He was Aliyah. He was called up to read. Another place they use this word is when they would go to Jerusalem for three times a year. They would make their Aliyah. They would go home to Jerusalem. Okay? Y'all know some of this stuff. And then what we're involved in is Aliyah getting them back to Israel. Okay? To Eretz. They need to go to Israel. Okay. Now, it's the ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the earth. It's the immigration of Jews back to their ancestral homeland. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you scripture for it so you won't think you'll know how to get this rolling in you. This is Isaiah 11:12. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. That's one. Now here's an interesting verse. This is the kicker right here. I will beckon the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will carry your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. That's a prophetic word about the Gentile people helping the exiles come home. Now listen, God is so multifaceted. He has multi-purpose in this. He's not just saying, I'm going to use you to do it. He's setting you up.
Yeah.
That's the easiest I know. You're getting a setup. Just like every other seed that you've sown, it's a setup. It's all about your future. And he's setting you up because he knows what needs to happen next. If you're gonna get a harvest, you have to sow a seed. There will always be seed time and harvest. The Apostle Paul talked about it and called the finances that came in seeds. We know seeds can be many things. It could be a smile. It could be the word. It could be a hug. It could be stopping and helping someone on the road. It could be all sorts of things. But we know that finances represent your life and your time. And so you're giving your life when you sow that seed. It comes... The world uses money. So it's what we need to run this place. All right. Now, so it's not the most powerful thing in the world. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. But money is what they use. You're not going to go to Walmart and pray for the milk and bread and walk out of there with it. You're going to have to give them some money. Okay. Now, Jeremiah suggested that an Aliyah would come that would eclipse the return of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he did that in Jeremiah 16:14-15. I'm going to read you the verse. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north, and all of the countries where they had banished them, for I will restore them to the land I gave their forefathers. Now, how could you get any plainer than that, than Jeremiah?
Right.
This is a prophecy about you. You're in the Bible. Here you are, right here. This is you. Now, this is Jeremiah 32:3. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their forefathers to possess. Now, I just watered your garden. That's what I just did. I just watered your garden. I watered your seed. The ground has a memory. Seed has a memory. You've sown seed. Seed brings a harvest of its kind. Here's what you need to know. Church, this thing is expanding so rapidly that we're going to have to, it's going to take us a few weeks to get all this in here, but we're going to do it. You must keep this ground now, Victory Church family. Now you're going to have to keep this harvest. You're going to have to guard it and not let the enemy steal it. And you're going to have to keep it. You're going to have to water it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh no, are we going to have to do something? Yes. Glory to God. Okay. You did something. It's turned into a miracle, and I'm going to tell you about it in just a minute. You must water your seed. Now, how many know what Mark 11:23 says? What's it say? Who shall ever shall say? It's echoing all over the place. In other words, short version, you're going to have what you say. You're going to have what you say. Now, there's a little bit more to that than just you blabbing. And I'm going to help you with it. We'll walk through it for just a minute. Faith-filled words get you over. Fear-filled words will bring defeat. The Bible tells us to watch the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You are a speaking spirit. You are creative by what you say. You're going to create your future. You're like, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's still working for you. Because the Bible said it is. Hey, don't get, oh, you're one of those name it, claim it people. Yes, I am. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't come up with it, and Hagin didn't come up with it. The Bible came up with it. You're going to have to do something with the mouth. James says it's the hardest thing to tame, but you can do it. You can do it, but you're going to have to do it. Jesus said that you'd be accountable for every idle word. What's he saying? He's not saying, I'll be mad at you and you're going to be accountable. He's saying, sower words. Sowers produce fruit. What fruit do you want to produce? Don't put it off on him that he's mad at you because you talk wrong. That's just legalistic stuff. We're talking about a law that was set in motion in the book of Genesis that said you're going to create with your mouth. Man, I've been doing this since 1987, and it just seems all new to me all over again. Isn't it awesome? It's just awesome. Okay, so Jesus put his word in your good ground, no wayside, because you can't just hear it with your head. No stony ground, because the plant has to take root, so you can't let persecution or trouble drive you. When you walk out of here today, if someone next to you says, you know, I just don't believe any of that stuff, this is just a cuckoo place, you're going to have to step away from them and just say, well, I believe the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, so what we have here then is you don't want that, and then you don't want thorny ground, and that's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. That church, the deceitfulness of riches is when you try to fix a spiritual problem with a natural thing, with finances. You've heard people say, well, if he would just buy her a home, she'd be happy. No. It doesn't work like that. That kind of stuff, but you've heard it. You know, people are given their opinion, which has no authority. We all know about opinions, and I'm going right on. Now, good ground, then, they hear the word, they accept it, and they bear the fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But you have to dress it and keep it, water it and guard it. So I'm going to help you do that. Okay? I'm going to help you with this precious seed that you have sown, because God wanted us to bring some Jewish people home, to let them have their aliyah to go home, because we're doing the will of God. Yes. doing this. So as you know, and those of you that are listening, we've been in touch. We're in touch with actually a government agency in Israel. Deb knows the guy now. They talk and run up the AT&T phone bill big, but that's okay. We didn't realize it. They're just talking and everything, you know, and then I got the bill. I was like, oh, well, praise the Lord, because that's what we do. Anyway, so he's just wonderful. But so we brought this seed out, and the Lord had just spoken to me, and I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to do it myself. And so I started to do it myself, and he said, no, you let the people in on it. So I'm thinking, well, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna give $1,000 or $1,200 of my own money or whatever. So then Deb says, well, I'm giving. And then Danny says, well, we're giving. And then Jesse and Larry said, well, we're giving. And then people started saying, well, we're giving. Why? Why was this happening? It's an unction. We don't all participate in everything. It's your choice. We don't ask for money here. We tell you what's going on. You give if you want to. It's according to your heart. It's what you purpose in your heart, as the Apostle Paul said. We're all tithers and givers, but we all get this. So God was unctioning us to participate in Aliyah. Okay. And so we all started moving toward that, and you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm believing that we're going to do, you know, we're going to, over a period of year, it's $1,000 airfare for one person. I thought, over a period of year, you know, I don't want to be hard on the people in case they do want to give, well, maybe $1,000 a month. But then I thought, well, I'm going to knock that out on the first one. But then the second one. And then, you know, some of these people in here knocked out way more than that. But We're flowing along in this, and the Lord began to reveal to us that this is a coming home seed. That we are to sow this seed and call it a coming home harvest. People coming to Jesus. People getting saved. They're going to come home. And all of a sudden, this thing starts producing in a greater manner than we thought. I mean, we mentioned it, and Kathy's saying, as soon as we get home, we're, you know. So it starts producing in a bigger manner than what we expected. And the revelation coming off of this is getting bigger as we realize our family and our friends are going to come home to Jesus during this awakening. Our loved ones are going to go back to church. The people that are supposed to be in this church are going to come home. And people that we know all over the place are going to move to where they're supposed to be, to where the memory of their dirt has been called to.
Oh my.
Okay? You get me? Favor is geographical. Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And so you always want to be in the place called there. So you move and you live in the place, we call it the place called there. You want to be in God's will. That's why like 2/3 of the people sit in this building moved here, including myself, because we were called here because we have a mission here. Okay? We're fulfilling that mission. Okay, now, the seed we sowed, are you still with me? Can you take a little bit more? The seed we sowed was financial. The seed we sowed was to the apple of God's eye. Come on. Financial seed brings financial harvest. The seed will produce after its kind, but it also will produce after what it is. It's a coming home seed, which I'm happy that you're about to be blessed financially more than you ever have been before, but I'm more thrilled that you're going to be so blessed when you see people coming into this awakening.
Yes.
The Christian people coming back, people getting saved, people getting delivered. Amen? Amen. So you say, see where I'm going with that? Okay. Now, so this coming home seed, it would also include those of you who are looking for homes. It would include those of you who are getting in your assignment. You don't work for a living. You make your living by your giving, but you do an assignment that actually defines you. And so you work where God has you working, but that's not your only source of income. Your source is that you are a farmer in the spirit realm. You got that? Everybody shake it off. You getting sleepy? Wake up here. Okay. So we have that set up already now. The money's going to go and it's already set up. But the words, that's what I'm trying to get to. The words and the revelation and the act of what the financial seed is doing has gone straight into the throne of God. The money itself right now is sitting in the church's bank. The bank that we use, it's going to be wired to them. But the seed of the word, Aliyah, the coming home, has met the throne room. And that the prayer, this is the same thing as Cornelius sowing his memorial seed, and God and his whole family got saved. It's the same, it's a memorial seed. He was giving to the people, and he wasn't even saved, and he was giving to the people. He was like just a Gentile giving to the Jewish Christians. He was the first one, and what happened? Oh, come on, man. He opened the door for Gentiles to be born again.
He did.
You see how this just keeps expanding? Yes. It's just expanding. Now, so record has been made, and it is set up in the kingdom realm now. So now it's growing. And I'm watering it right now for you. But you're going to have to water it. The procedure then would be to dress and keep it until the harvest is ripe for harvesting and the fruit is ripe for picking. So we guard it. How are we going to guard it? Just to make it clear for everybody who may not get this, how are we going to guard it? With faith in God and the words of our mouth and walking in love. Your garden is in your heart. Yeah, where's Eden? Where's the Garden of Eden? What happened to it? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where's the Garden of Eden? It moved into you. It's in the spirit realm. He fell out of that realm. They fell out of that realm. And the earth went to another level. They were living like in heaven on earth. See what I'm saying? So they fell with the curse. That garden, remember the angel was protecting it because it had the tree of life in it and tree of knowledge of good and evil? So it's in a spirit realm. It's in the kingdom realm. And it's in you. Okay, so I know this is a lot of stuff, but you're big. So this is what I wanted to get to. This main thing I want to tell you, and I want you to make a commitment to this. Your heart loves to hear the word, especially coming out of your mouth. So we're going back to our old days, which we've done all along, but we need a refresher course. Need to get out your little booklet on God's creative word. You need to get out your little confession things. You need to start telling your spirit what to believe.
Yes.
And it will believe your voice,
yes,
sooner than it will believe even mine.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I've had people sit here, and while I'm talking, they're going, this is a cult. This is junk. Da-da-da-da-da. They're believing their voice. Okay?
Yeah.
They're believing their voice. But if you'll listen to the word, and I challenge you, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not on this. Am I wrong about some things? Sure, nobody knows everything. But I'm telling you, as far as this is concerned, this is how the kingdom works. Yeah. And I'm telling you, if you will begin to confess every day, get a calendar and make some confessions every day, this is going to be our plan. Let me tell you what our plan is, if you will participate. If you don't want to, fine. Every day, find a calendar, and every day, we used to do this in the old days, and it changed our lives. Every day, put you a little check when you've made your confessions. Are we back to that? You should have never left. I am the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil with good. Da, 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 da. She's got so wherever it is, you know, you can get you a little book or something, but get some confessions going, and then I'm going to help you because I'm going to make us an Aaliyah confession book. Okay? But in the meantime, you got to get started, and I'm going to tell you something. If you will do this, and don't make it so long that your flesh gets stuck. Just do some of it. Don't make it so long that you're like, oh, this is tedious. Just do some. Right? Okay. And then when it gets to be convention time, immerse yourself.
Oh, yes.
And I guarantee you that by the time you walk out of that place, having heard the word that long with all your confessions, you should start seeing your harvest. What is this about this immersion stuff? Why do y'all think y'all need to spend a whole vacation week under the word? Yeah, everybody in here is talking right now. They're preaching with me. My spiritual father, the first victory he had was, he said, I'm shutting everything down, and I'm going to immerse myself until I get answers. And man, he came out of there a week later, and now I would venture to say that he is the center of the revival capital of the world. He has had more victories than anybody I know of. And so he made this for us to do so that you can immerse yourself. And people are like, well, you know, I'm just not going to go. You don't know what you're missing.
For real.
Because it'll change your life to sit. I mean, by Tuesday night, you're spitting bullets. I mean, it's amazing. I think this may be my 33rd time, and I've never missed. 33 years. And every time, it's been life-changing. Every time. Now, so that's the plan. Now, if you're like, well, I'm not going. Well, it's on TV. So you can be right there with us. Okay? But you ought to try to go. Well, I don't have the money. But you got some faith, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And it's like 150 miles up the road, isn't it? Yeah. So you ought to be able to at least go for one day. Yeah. You could even go up and turn around and come home or stay in Motel 2 or something. Yeah. Plus, you don't know. If you put your faith out there, somebody might buy your hotel.
Yep.
Actually, someone's done that already for someone in this room. Happens all the time. We took 70 people last year. From the day we started going, we've been taking people for 33 years.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. I said, not an advertisement for them. This is for your heart, church. So you're like, well, I really need to work. You really need to think about the word because you have this most precious seed. And it's not just about you. This is about this awakening. We're in the second phase of the Great Awakening now in this nation. People are awake now. The states are awake now. You see it on that level, and you see it on a spiritual level. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. Lives are changing. Mario Murillo is just going to town, I'm telling you. Things are happening. Kent Christmas. His church is totally changed. I mean, I could name off all these people, and you guys be going, yeah, yeah, this is wonderful. Things are changing right now. And God has set us up with this precious seed because we're going to get a precious harvest that has such multiplicity to it.
Yes.
Because it's like this church, it's going to do this and 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 this on spiritual levels. And it's also going to bless your bank account.
Yeah.
If you believe. I'm an investor, and so I'm always looking for the tips, you know. And they'll say, now get in on this. Because if you get in on this, like with Microsoft, if you would have gotten in on Microsoft for $300, you'd be a billionaire right now, you know, if you'd have gotten in when he started. And you know, you all have heard those kind of things. If you get in on Tesla, you're going to be wealthy, so be it in Jesus' name. But the greatest investment you'll ever make is in the kingdom. And the reward is so much grander. Now, I want to remind you of something. We have done this before. And I was standing at the sink when we lived in Delaware Springs. And the Lord said, Deb had actually come to me and said, you know what I'm going to do in Aaliyah? I'm going to help someone come home. And I said, that's good. And I just blew her off. I wasn't into it. I'm standing at the sink, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, if you bring them home, I'll bring you home. Remember? Well, that's when we were over in our little God-blessed building over there that was all we could find in the town to live, to be in. And lo and behold, it wasn't very long. We had a favor on this building. And we got this building. And at the same time, I got a debt-free home built.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I came home both ways. Got a place here. This is debt-free. Our house is debt-free. Our cars are debt-free. We're debt-free. Now, that's what's going to happen to you. And that could happen to your children's too. Because that's where I am now. I'm thinking about, well, okay, I've got this. Let's see if we can get everybody else into debt freedom and houses. And I'm always trying to think of, you know, praise the Lord. It's going to happen. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So your heart loves to hear the word. So when things go wrong and you put your mouth in agreement with things going wrong, what happens? They get worse. But you turn things around when you start agreeing with the word. I remember Charles Capps teaching that us years ago. He put his name on a loan with somebody, and it blew up, and he had to pay it back. And so we started talking negative. He had been a successful farmer all of his life, but when he started talking negative, then his farm went down.
Yeah.
And then God got a hold of him and said, I want you to change your confession. He changed his confession, and y'all probably know the end of his story. Everything turned around for Charles. Everything got good because he learned what to do with his mouth, and he made it a practice. That, you know, people say to us, I know I'm running a little long, church, but it's worth it today. Okay, so people say to us, well, what does it matter if you kick the tire in your car and call it a blah, blah? It matters because you're a speaking spirit and you have authority in this earth. And so, well, what does it matter if you say, well, that just tickled me to death? Well, you're not going to die the minute you get tickled. However, it's a training. It's a training. You train yourself to speak life. Okay, let me close this up, and then Sunday we're going to get back on it. So you have to take care of it. You have to watch it. And you go, well, God will just do it. Well, how's that worked for you so far? Okay. You know, I mean, how's that worked for you? Oh, God will just do it. Well, good. I need to talk to you then, because I don't know one person. You're going to have to allow God's grace to kick in, and you can do this. Dirt has a memory. It knows what it's supposed to do. It grows things. Okay, now, I just really need to hit this before we go. Can you take it for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, people are dirt and water. I'm just going to go through it real quick. Their dirt wants to go to where the dirt God called them to. They're going to go there.
Yeah.
Ask God for words about that and keep your flesh out of it. Well, I want my kids to come here. Ask God. Okay. Now, last thing. Your body is dirt, and it will respond to your born-again spirit as you demand it. It doesn't happen just because you say it, but saying is involved in it happening because you talking causes faith to rise up in you, which is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so saying is planting. Sower sows the word. The spoken word of God imparts spirit life into your body. His word, now here's the thing I want you to get. His word is incorruptible seed, and it produces after its own kind. So if incorruption goes into you, and you speak the incorruptible word over your dirt, over your body, then you're going to get a harvest, and your body is going to respond and be healed.